Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling.
Welcome to the sound of Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you again. And of course, the markets continue to stay in the painstaking range and torment of consolidation. Not really moving in a direction one way or the other, but just churning between that 2% range that we've seen for, I think it's now 8 weeks or 9 weeks. I don't know. It's interesting to watch, but of course, this is one of the phases of the market, as we do talk about often here on the Bubba Show, is the phases of the market and what they mean and how they work. And of course, overall, it's not to be totally unexpected. We can expect to see markets to churn and eventually they'll break out to a direction. And the question is when, and of course, how much. And, you know, it's something that, you know, you have to deal with as a trader. Now, this is a very tormenting and lousy pattern from a trader standpoint, because it doesn't really do anything. So it makes it hard to really grasp onto something and really say, hey, this is my opportunity. But it is what it is. And you have to, this is one of the key things that a trader has to understand, is that it can't always be busy. You can't always be active. There are times when you're going to have to be able to be patient enough to sit back and not be dictated to by what the market is doing at the time, nor what you want the market to do. There is an old saying, well, it started out in playing cards, you play the hand that you're dealt, but in the markets, the saying is, trade the market you have, not the market you want. And that's what we can have to continue to do. Now, you one of the things going on here is you get the ridiculous people, pundits, coming on air telling you how much the market's going to go up. And I'm not saying the market's not going to go up. I don't ever want you to get the idea that I'm saying the market will not go up. What I'm saying is that you get the same story from everybody. And if you look at it at this from this point of view, okay, let's say that I'm right. Okay, I think I'm right. But let's say that I'm right and they do have an agenda. Okay, now let's look at the parties that are on TV. What do they do for a living? Well, they're either advisors, okay, that don't risk their own money. They take commissions from people like you and me. They're people that are selling something. They don't risk their own money. They're taking money from you and me. And they're making recommendations. Okay. And of course, then we have the big banks that do have their advisors coming on TV. So if the pundits, if the advisors, they just want you in the market because that's how they get paid. So certainly I can see that part of it, right? So make sure that you're bullish. Because, you know, bearish, when you're out of the market, they're not making their commission. So I have to wonder, you know, about their motive for wanting you in a market that is up 200 and something percent. I mean, do you think that we're going to actually go up forever and never go down again? I mean, if you believe that, God bless America. I mean, again, year over year, we're going to go up. Okay. But do you think we're going to go straight up from here? Would this be the time when you'd want to be taking fresh new money and forcing it into the stock market that's already been, I think, fairly valued, okay, if not overvalued? But again, I'm just saying, all right, I'm not trying to convince you otherwise, okay? That's not my intention. Okay, so then we go to the sellers of stuff, the guys who make their radical calls one way or the other. And why are they made? Because, well, they're either trying to convince you to purchase something from them or make you think that they want the market to go one direction or the other. Okay. And again, listen, that's business marketing. I mean, I get it. But that's where I always warn, okay, make sure you understand what you're hearing and what they're saying and what you want to do. And make sure that you look at a market and look at a chart and say, hey, I do agree. I think that's the correct thing to do. Because, again, it doesn't make me right. I'm not telling you that I'm always right, nor am I telling you that they're wrong. I'm just saying that, hey, I advise you for free to go to check it out and take a look at what you're getting told and see if that you do actually agree and you're not following blindly with really no information to follow. Okay. And then of course there's the traders, the prop firms, the bigger banks that, you know, do some trading. Now, I would assume that they have some sort of agenda, because if they're trying to buy something, okay, they may want you to sell it so they can buy it at a cheaper price. I mean, that would make sense to me. Now, again, from the trading floor standpoint, it used to happen all the time. Okay, so again, I'm not accusing anybody. I don't know anything for 100% fact. I'm just saying that, you know, why else would we have anything? So we can see that the one common thread and the one common theme in all of this is about what? It's about the money. Okay. And, you know, again, my objective, my whole point on doing some of these things on the show that I do is to not tell you which way to do it, but to say, hey, maybe you should check it out and check out who's doing the recommending. And if they tell you to buy something and they don't own it, okay, and they don't want to buy it, why would you want to buy it? Okay. I mean, certainly if I'm going to recommend something to you, I'm certainly going to get involved myself. I mean, you know, if I tell you I'm short hogs and choking on them, I mean, I'm short hogs and I'm choking on them. Okay. If I tell you that I'm selling IBM or Apple, okay, and getting short Apple, you can bet your ass I'm short Apple. Okay. But again, I'm with you. I'm going the same direction. I'm just giving you the thought process of what I see and the direction that I believe to be the next move in this particular, commodity, stock, option, whatever. Okay. So, you know, and I always wondered, you know, why there is so few of me on air that are independent traders, okay, that just trade their own money, which is what I do. So I find it fascinating that when you see, pundits and you see the talk and the BS floating around, that, you know, you look at what they're actually doing and they're doing nothing near what they're telling you to do. So why would I want to pay for that advice? I guess that's my bigger question is, you know, what is the motive of behind? Okay. For example, what is my motive of explaining all this to you? My motive is very simple. Okay. I'm a champion for the underdog. I'm a champion for financial literacy. I'm tired of watching innocent people get dragged down the toilet and forced to make big decisions for their life's earnings and savings. Okay. When it doesn't have to be that way. And that is the same way that I think of everything. I love the underdog. I want the underdog to succeed, because I think that we are far too often taken advantage of by those, city slickers, as we'll call them for today. And I'm on the team of helping those who need more knowledge to help themselves. And that is really why I share these types of stories and this type of information with you, because I like it and I care. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends, which is now being hosted by Xander. Also, we do now have the new feature of Bubba's Bottom Line that we do once a week. It's a video podcast that can be found at bubbatrading.com. Check it out. This is The Bubba Show. I will be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come alive, come alive. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I don't know if anybody had a chance to read my blog yesterday at BubbaTrading.com, but I talked about the Super Bowl, and I talked about what I call the idiots that are out protesting, and was thrilled that that Lady Gaga did not put a protest out, and I got shellacked and obliterated by a few people that emailed me, which is always, I accept them all and offered them the opportunity to come out and explain their side right on the show here. I have no problem with it. My point is that those of you who listen to me and know me best know that I'm neither for the right or the left, nor am I against it. Okay. I am for America. I'm for Americans. And I think that the political system is broken down, and for there to be so much fight on one side or the other for such things that are so ridiculous, it is idiotic. I mean, I cannot tell a lie, me and George Washington, okay? I cannot tell a lie that I think that the process is idiotic. I think that the people that are out protesting right now, instead of trying to pull together, are ridiculous. I think it does no good, but creates more dissension among the masses. I think that we are creating a much more division or divisive setup, and I think that it needs to stop. That's my opinion of the whole situation. I do not like hearing about all the protesting. I don't like hearing about everything else, about all the problems. And I don't necessarily like everything that comes out of the mouth of President Trump as well. But I do respect him. He is the President of the United States. He did win the election fair and square. So I cannot take away that. And in my eyes, it is, again, it is the office. It is not one man. It is the office. And I personally believe that many of the things he's doing, which is shaking up the street, are good for America. Okay, I think that there's a lot of things that may not be great. And again, I'm not a politician, as you know. Okay, I'm not politically correct, which you know. Okay, but what I do know is that I believe that America is broken down right now. That's what I do believe. I believe that we have gone in areas that we should not be going in. I believe that we are not creating a fair and equal space for everyone. I believe that we have trashed the middle class and continue to do so. And I think that that is where the issues lie, not whether or not Donald Trump won the election. I think that there's a dramatic mistake being made here by many, okay, and I'll call them the idiots because that's what I wrote about. That's how I wrote it, that are protesting things that there's nothing really to protest. The importance to now is to pull America together. The importance now is to make the country stronger. Whether you agree or you do not agree with who is in office, the argument is not to say how bad he is or how many things he does that is wrong, but is to try to find the good in what he's doing right. And I don't know if you can argue the fact that his policies so far, okay, when it comes to the regulations and finance, I don't think can be argued with, unless you like the $19 trillion in debt we have, unless you like the $4 trillion balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, unless you like having the money that you earn being taxed away by higher costs and higher inflation. Okay, if you like all that, then you won't like him. And of course, I don't like that. I work too damn hard for my money, and I'm not giving it away, okay? Because I have to be able to print more money so I can keep a crippled, lousy government in business, okay? When the senators and the congressmen decide that they want to live under the same laws that I have to live under, then maybe, just maybe, I'll be more happy to pay more. But as long as they're going to continue to steal my money, okay, and take money out of my pocket and continue to live a much higher style of life than I live because of the laws and the rules and the programs that they get, well, then I'm not really interested in what they say or what they do. I think that they are just really just glorified criminals. Okay, that's my opinion. But of course, in America, you get the right to state your opinion And I am not causing a fire in the street. I'm not yelling anything in a crowded theater, and I'm not threatening anybody. I'm giving you straight up my overall opinion on what I think, and I think that the whole system is a farce. But if you like that kind of debt and you want to continue to bail out and you want to continue to support people that can work but that don't want to, and you want to continue to grow a weakening system and a weakening economy with no jobs and no hope, then God bless America. That's your right. And it's your right to protest. But I do think that, again, I think protesting an event that's already over is not the wise thing to do. So I have to go back to my views and say, hey, I'm an American. I want America to be great. I want America to be successful. I want everybody to have the opportunity to be successful. And unfortunately, under the current laws, under the current regulations, under the current setup, that is not possible. That is not true. So that we are living in a fantasy land and in a fallacy of what is really achievable by individuals. So from my point of view, again, I can take the criticism. I have no problem. I have no problem becoming an F-A, you know, you can fill in the blanks yourself, but F and it starts in F, ends in N, starts in A, ends in E. Okay. So if you want to, you know, again, and I can take it. I've been called worse. I've been called a lot worse. Okay. But I don't think that that was appropriate for the particular conversation that we're having. Okay. I think that's just typical of a problem that we have in this country today, that's the way that some decide to fight, which is by name calling and putting me somewhere without doing something. I mean, somebody told me that, well, you know, based on their calculations, Trump only got 25% of the popular vote. Okay. Well, I can't help it that 50% of the vote didn't come out and vote. It's not my fault. Okay. I voted. I said on this show, I don't care who you vote for as long as you vote. Okay. I don't give a crap who you vote for. As long as you exercise your privilege, okay, it's a privilege to be able to vote, not a right, okay? As long as you go out and exercise your privilege to vote, then you can vote for whoever you want. It's not my fault that the biggest majority of the population lives in three states, and those three states are highly controlled by the Democrats. So I can see that Hillary Clinton won the election by the popular vote, and that's fine. But she didn't win the electoral vote. So by the laws of the land in which we live by, okay, she did not win. I don't care, popular vote or not. This is not the first time that the popular vote did not win the election. So you can call me an F.A. if you want. I don't care. Again, okay, it's not about what that is. This country, you have the right to go out, or the privilege to go out and vote if you choose to. You can organize. You can do a lot of things here, okay, without being restricted by a government. Okay. You can do a lot of things to get yourself ready. Okay. So, you know, it's not my fault that people didn't get off their ass and go out and vote. So you can't blame my opinion of being against all the protesting because people didn't go out and vote because they thought either that it was a cinch that they were going to win, or now they're complaining because they're not getting what they wanted. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. So again, I have no problem being criticized, and I make the offer to you again. Anybody wants to come out and talk to me about this, you can have the forum. I'll let you speak your mind, and I don't even get involved. I'll just let you talk. Right? I mean, again, you got something to say? You let me know. You shoot me an email at bubba@bubbatrading.com. You can come and talk to me anytime you want, and I will listen. Even if I disagree, I will let you have your space, and I will not argue with you. I will listen, and I will state my opinion at the same time, and I hope that you would give me the same respect. But at the end of the day, that's the issue. Okay. When the government lives by the same laws and rules that I have to live by, I'll be more than happy to move on. But until that day, I don't think that it warrants that. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and LibertyTalk.fm is where you can download the Bubba Show every single day. And of course, the new, brand new Bubba's Bottom Line is now hosted at BubbaTrading.com on a weekly basis. It's my video podcast, and, you know, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. In the meantime, I'm going to step out of here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Taba Borowitz. I'm coming right back to you after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. And you know, we've been kind of rolling around today. I'm a little feisty today, but I'm still a little feisty because, you know, when I see what I consider to be injustices, when I see what I consider to see a bunch of BS, I can't help but open up my mouth. I guess maybe that's been one thing I've done my entire life, and you know, maybe that's why, you know, I am what I am. I mean, again, I don't believe in hiding from the truth. You know, Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise and A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. Well, I can handle it. Tell me the truth. Okay. I don't, you know, again, I'm tired of all of the BS that we have to put up with and go through in life that really there is no reason for. And I think that to me creates the bigger issues. Okay, is because we live so many lies in this country because of the people that run it. Okay, and you know, we can continue to hide behind it. You know, we hear that, well, this, that, and the other thing, not a politician. Well, what do I care? I don't need a politician. I need somebody who can run a business. I mean, we are a business. Okay, but you know, if you look at what's going on here, okay, and you look at, you know, the Federal Reserve, okay, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to raise rates finally? Are they going to get off their ass and not be late? Okay, are they going to continue to sit back churning out debt? Okay, now again, you have to make hard, tough decisions, and the hard and tough decision here is that rates need to be raised. Okay. Well, why? Well, M-I-C-K-E-Y. Why? Because I like you. Now, they have to be raised for a very simple reason. Okay. Because they have to be able to lend out money. All right. And they're not going to lend out money at these low rates. Even with, they can lift all the regulations they want. Okay. You're not going to have money lent out when the spread between what they borrow and what they can lend it for is not big enough. Very simple. It's a simple mathematical formula. Okay. And I think that they now know that they may not get bailed out so fast the next time. So I think they're going to be a little bit more careful on the types of loans that they make here, because I don't think that they want to go through the process again, because again, I don't know that they will get bailed out. Now I know that the Fed will be the lender of last resort, but I don't know if it'll work out the same way next time for all the banks that stole all that money, okay, the last time through. And if you don't think they didn't steal it, well, go figure it out. I mean, look who made the loans. Look who got bailed out, okay? Look who ended up with the property. Look at everything. Look at the whole statistic. You don't have to listen to me. It's all very clear in black and white, okay? So you can go look and prove it to yourself if you don't believe what I'm telling you, okay? But you know, the only thing we have now is we need more inflation so we can now cover all that money that was printed to handle all that. And again, I look at just the debt to GDP, okay, and considering that we're at a negative position, that doesn't sound very good, okay? I look at, you know, household budgets, you know, somehow a guy who's only making, you know, who's making $80,000 now is making $40,000. Okay. Somehow he's got to live by a budget. He's got to be able to make those payments or he's going to jail or he's going to bankruptcy court. Okay. So somehow I believe that those things should pass on up, you know, all the way to the government. Where did the government get off that they don't have to live by a budget? You know, again, we've talked about this 1,000 times, but I mean, isn't it ridiculous that they don't have to live by the same laws that you and I have to live by? I mean, I find that kind of tragic. Okay. I'm not a big fan about that. I think that's pretty nasty. Okay. But at the end of the day, okay, here we are. Okay. And already there's talk about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, with, you know, the, for example, we've got the pipeline coming up, and of course, already the Keystone Pipeline. Well, the oil prices have to be higher to make the pipeline worthwhile. Well, why is that? Oh, because it's probably because of all the taxes and regulations that have to be done to get there. Okay, raw costs that shouldn't have to make anything. Does anybody remember that not that long ago we had $9 barrel oil? Did we forget that? Did we forget that in the late 90s and early 2000s we had oil that was under $10? Okay, but now at 50, it's not enough. So it's gone up 5 times. Okay, and at one time it was up to 15 times, and that's not enough. There's not enough profit in there. Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem is the way that we go about business. Okay, and maybe those are the issues, not okay that the price is not enough. So maybe we have to reconsider how we go about handling business. Okay. I mean, you know, do we want to continue to, you know, look at it from that point of view? I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, prices are not the issue. It's all the tax that goes on those prices that we have to pay that becomes the issue. All right. So, you know, maybe the cuts, okay, should come down from the top and not up from the bottom. So instead of inflating my prices, so not only can I pay more for my goods and services, but also pay a higher tax rate on those goods and services, maybe they should take and change the way that the money gets trickled down, because it doesn't really trickle down. It gets thrown up. So maybe that's a bigger problem than anything else. Maybe we should be looking at it from that point of view. Okay. You know, maybe teachers don't make enough money. Maybe the Army and all the military, maybe they don't make enough money. But maybe the guys who are sitting there, you know, pushing their pencils around, sitting on their asses collecting donations, okay, maybe they should take a little bit less money. Okay. But of course, then they probably wouldn't pay $40 million to get a $200,000 job so they could graft all the other cash out of it. I don't know. You know, again, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm not, certainly not a brain surgeon, but I can do enough connoitering and figuring in my mind that, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the guy to pay. It doesn't make a lot of sense for somebody to pay $10 million for a $200,000 job. Okay. That never made a lot of sense to me, and I don't get it. Okay. So the only job that I can see somebody doing that for, would be the president, because the ego is so big, you just got to be the president. But any other of those jobs, I don't see it. But again, who am I? I'm just a guy, okay. But at the end of it, you know, again, we continue along that same path of destruction because that's what they do. And somehow, people complain at who's in the office right now, president right now, but yet they didn't even go out and vote, okay. So again, it's just something that you have to explain to me, right? When we look at this whole process and we see what goes on, okay, you know, I just want to know just what happened to the free market system. What happened to, you know, you can make as much as you can as long as you're competitive. And the way that you're figured out if you're competitive is if your competitors can sell the same product at a lower price, you're probably not going to do very well. So we can produce oil a lot cheaper than we can buy it out of the country, which we do. We don't buy it anymore, really. We're not part of you know, the OPEC area anymore. We're not held hostage by them anymore. But yet we get told what oil has to be priced at so that they can get it out of the ground. Well, again, that goes back to a whole nother dynamic of the inflation module and the ability to tax consumers. So now, you know, if I made $40,000 in 1985, okay, I'd have to make about $200,000 now to live a similar lifestyle. Somehow it doesn't seem logical, okay? When, you know, guys have done significantly better than that. You know, I mean, I just remember a number that Warren Buffett's income or worth from the 80s to now has gone up about 100 times. Okay. So, you know, again, I want to know where the fair and equal balance is throughout all this. And that it comes back down to all these little laws and little regulations that somehow find their way into the middle class and in their way to destroying everything that you work for. And, you know, and that doesn't count the money that you're not going to get paid from Social Security if you're younger, okay, that won't be there when you get there, most likely, because nobody's got the balls to step up and change the way it operates. But that's our team, okay? But those are the guys that are calling me FA because they like what they got. Now, me, I personally, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think it's screwed up. I think it's a bad deal. And I think that we, the Americans, the middle class, are getting screwed. Okay? I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, and hopefully, like I said, that's why I believe in a businessman running the economy, and hopefully it'll take place and it'll make things better for everybody. But that's the way I see it right here on The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the place you go. Like Green Acres, Liberty Talk, go download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge, now being hosted by Xander on the weekends. And of course, the brand new Bubba's Bottom Line, my video podcast I do once a week. Go to BubbaTrain.com and check that out. In the meantime, I will step out of here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back.
1,000 beers in 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, you know, I don't know how many of you have actually followed or watched markets for any length of time in history, but I think we've gotten to an interesting spot in markets in general, and I think the spot is now is that there are no more surprises. The markets don't really bring any more things in that are out of character. I think from the simple jobs number that could sometimes be a major surprise, which is no longer a major surprise, to the pricing of an IPO that, you know, that used to be a big income source for a lot of the insiders that would, you know, big traders or brokers, they'd get the access to the IPO, the IPO price, and they'd immediately sell it and make a big profit. And now, you know, IPOs don't typically trade that same way anymore. And I think that's something you're going to see in a company like now Snapchat. You know, they don't make too many errors now in the pricing of these IPOs. I think it's too easy to kind of calculate value. And I think all of a sudden Snapchat found out that, and I think that their IPO might find a little problem because of they don't know if they can ever make money. Could they be another potential Twitter? Okay. I mean, I know people love it. I don't use it. I don't know anything about it, but I do know the balance sheet doesn't look great, and yet it's going to be a multi-billion dollar corporation. So I think that's something to look at. And I think this is one thing that we need to understand is that the economic data itself is not as important as what the market thinks and then what else can happen. And I think that's kind of what you saw with Friday's jobs number. I mean, the market rallied a little bit, but I don't know that the market rallied so much on the improvement of jobs more than the market rallied on the potential of the lifting of regulations off of the banks. Okay. I mean, I don't think that jobs number was such a dramatic surprise, and yet it'll probably be, you know, revised again at a later date. So I think that, you know, these are things that, you know, we tend to forget about, don't think about, don't equate into our equations. And I think that's something that is always, you know, interesting, the mispricing of assets and the mispricing of why assets are not correct. And I think this is something that we need to understand, okay, is how things themselves are priced, why they're priced there, and how they achieve those prices. And, you know, all the stories in the world are going to change, you know, what that is. All the excitement, there is not as much, you know, when the markets went to 24-hour-a-day trading, basically, when everybody started carrying basically a laptop computer in their back pocket, okay, actually a more powerful computer than, you know, I think iPhones are more powerful than the first computer that launched NASA, the Apollo. But even if I'm wrong, I mean, they're obviously very powerful. And I think that, you know, now that the markets trade 24 hours and global information is so good, I don't think there's much of a surprise out there anymore. That's why most markets don't, you know, have major issues until there's something that is totally unexpected, which is usually something of the geopolitical nature that would create a market meltdown or whatever. But I think what you look at now is the overall focus of what's going to happen. And that's why I think the market structure has changed. I think that's also why we see much quicker action in one direction or the other, because now everybody's trading, you know, constantly, you know, all the time. I mean, big firms are, you know, running 24 hours a day, trading globally. And so I think those are a lot of things that we can see happening as we move forward. And so, I mean, it doesn't change markets. It doesn't change the model of fear and greed. They just happen faster. Okay. But now the numbers became bigger because the base number became bigger. So the actual percentage wise moves, I would argue to say that actually some of the percentage size moves now are smaller than they've ever been. And certainly in the last 9 weeks, it's the tightest range in history. So that's certainly a fact at this point in time. But I also think that the overall need and big clamoring for more volatility, you know, the volatility that we all know or think about or remember may no longer be the volatility that we can expect. Because again, when you're open basically 24 hours a day, you have a way to able to release pressure off of a market, because it can be done in other markets or it can be done through the futures markets overnight. So I think that's one of the things you have to think about and look at. I think the other thing you look at is that the communication worldwide is different. And I think the effectiveness of pricing isn't different now. There isn't many mistakes made on what true valuation is. And that is the one thing that still kind of works on a supply-demand model and on a price discovery model. And that, I think, is something that, you know, you have to always remember. You get the fairest, truest price when you're working on a true supply and demand model and a price discovery model. The truest prices are defined in when you're buying a house, okay? Because there is not an exact price it's worth. There's not a sticker price. There is not a comparison. You can't go comparison shopping for the exact same house and a car. You can go comparison shopping, okay? You can get the exact same car at a different dealership. But a house is unique to its own, so we don't get that same opportunity. So when you buy a house, you are buying that house and you are creating a true market and real price discovery in a real free market. Because again, the seller's got in their mind what they want to sell it for. The buyer knows what he wants to pay, he or she want to pay for it. But at the end of the day, that's where we are. We don't have anything to compare it to. We don't have anybody dictating what I have to sell it for. I mean, you have the appraisal, but if the appraisal, even if the buyer wants to pay much more than the appraisal, if he's got the money or she's got the money, then they can pay more. Okay. Obviously, if there's not a need to borrow much, then they can go ahead and pay more for it. So there's a whole bunch of things that can be done and can be changed. But so that is still the true free market because the competition there is none. Okay. It's like the competition of a worker's salary. You know, if you're in a company that doesn't have standard salaries and you pay, you know, athletes, okay? Athletes get what they want, but they get what they want or what they're worth based on what model? The same model, which is, you know, I'm willing to pay you this, you want that. You know, what's the price that we can meet at and create our own market? So those are talents. Those are things that cannot be structured necessarily by an agency. Now they've started to cut into some of that because obviously in baseball, they've got guys under control for a number of years and they can only pay them X amount of dollars. So they have kind of price fixed there. In football, the draft choices all have numbers that they can get paid. But once you get past that, then you begin again, it becomes a free market. And that's what we're really lacking right now in this country is the total free autonomy of a free market. Anyways, that's Bubba's lecture for today. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm gets you the download of the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge with Xander on the weekends. And of course, check out our brand new Bubba's Bottom Line found at BubbaTrading.com. It's yours to check it out. It's my podcast video that I do once a week. Check it out. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.